It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Let me encourage you to open your Bible as we study the book of Ruth. Now, it may not be possible for you to do that. You may be driving in your car. But if you can, have your Bible open. Please do not do that while you're driving in your car. But it is important that we study the Word of God together with the Scriptures open. Well, last time we left off in the book of Ruth in chapter 1, and in verse 7, the Bible says in Ruth chapter 1, verse 7, "Wherefore she went forth out of the place," this is speaking of Naomi now, "where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on their way, or on the way, to return into the land of Judah." Well, we see that they're going to the land of the living. Naomi decides to return to Judah, the house of bread. I wonder today, have you decided to go to the land of the living? The land of the living, of course, is heaven, and that place where we know that our Savior lives. Did you know that it could also mean where you are right now, the land of the living? Well, we're not in heaven yet, but that's for sure. But you can leave the land of death, and that is the land of sin. You can turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask Him to come into your heart, ask Him to save you, and you can actually be living in the land of the living. You know, the Christian has nothing to fear. You say, well, death comes to everybody. That's true. This body dies. But for the Christian, there is no apprehension. Now, don't get me wrong. We still look at death as something that, you know, is bad, and this is something that everybody dreads to a point. But for the Christian, we have nothing to fear, because one of these days when the breath leaves this body, we're going to be with our Lord. Well, once again, let me encourage you to open your Bible, if at all possible, as we study the book of Ruth. Well, we've studied now how that in verse 1 it talks about a famine, and then we read about the death of her husband. This is Naomi's husband in verse 3. And then, if that wasn't enough, we read about the death of her two sons. Well, this is Naomi's sons and husband, of course. And we read about the death of her two sons in verse 5. And Naomi, through all of this, had retained her allegiance to the one and true living God. Now, we see this, that she was in Moab, but even in the midst of idolatry, in chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, it says there that she arose. We also see in verse 8 the release here, and it says, "And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as ye have dealt with the dead and with me." Well, you'll remember that Naomi's husband had died, the two sons had died, and they had married wives. These two were with Naomi at this time, the two wives of the dead husbands, but now she gives them permission to go back or to go and stay in the house that they were born and raised in, to stay in Moab. Well, Naomi, in essence, is saying, go. Naomi releases her two daughters-in-law, according to Ruth chapter 1 and verse 8. And why would Orpah and Ruth need permission from Naomi to return to their mother's house? Well, Jewish tradition is this, that the woman moved to the husband's home and family upon marriage. So these women were actually part of the household that they had married into. A woman's loyalties were expected to transfer to her new family and home. And we see here that Naomi, this was the two ladies' family at that point. Well, they were to pay allegiance, these two women, and stay with the people, the family they had married into, and that is of her husband. They were to stay. But here we read in verses 9 and 10, "The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband." Well, this is Naomi now speaking to these two women. "Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people." Here we see that a blessing is offered. Naomi was giving the daughters-in-law permission to remarry, according to verse 9. Well, why would these two daughters-in-law say, "Surely we will return with thee unto thy people"? Once again, Jewish law says the widow is entitled to maintenance until she remarries. In other words, the settlement would come from the husband's estate. And this, of course, would be somewhat like a Jewish prenuptial agreement. See, in Jewish law as developed by the rabbis, while orphans inherit their father's estate, a widow does not inherit her husband's estate, but the ketubah, that is, the Jewish prenuptial agreement I spoke of, consists of a settlement on the estate from which the widow is entitled to maintenance until she remarries. In other words, she would be taken care of. But we go on and we read now in Ruth chapter 1, verses 11 and through 13. It says, "And Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is going out against me." Well, I have to ask myself a question here. Was Naomi being judged by God in all of this? I go to the New Testament and I find answers. You know, the Bible explains itself if we look. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, it says, "We are troubled on every side," speaking of Christians now, "we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed." Things come into our lives that sometimes people would point to us and say, you're being judged of God. Well, that's not always the case. Christians have problems. Don't think that when a person gets saved, all their problems will cease. But we still have problems, and I think that's what was happening with Naomi. If we keep reading in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we actually drop back a couple of verses to verses 6 and 7, it says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, and not of us." God will take the bad things in our lives, if we let Him, and He will turn those into the good. He will turn those things so that we can be witnesses for Him, so we can bring honor and glory to Him, give Him the credit, give Him all the glory. Well, notice here with me now, we'll get back to the book of Ruth now. She's saying to these women, her daughters-in-law, "Go home. Go home." Well, Naomi again tells the daughters-in-law to go back to their ancestral home. She says, "Turn again." Well, Naomi felt God's judgment had come upon her. And as we've just read, and I don't believe that was the case at all, she had decided to go back. Now, that is it's an opposite direction. In other words, she turned around. Opposite directions we see are taking place in Ruth chapter 1. Now let's read verses 14 through 18. "And they lifted up their voice and wept again." And once again, this is the two daughters-in-law, of course. Naomi was weeping as well, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. "But Ruth clave unto her, and she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. Now, once again, this is Naomi. She left speaking to Ruth at this point. Well, Orpah decided to go back to Moab. or stay in Moab, and Ruth decided to go with her mother-in-law, Naomi. And we see here two directions. Orpah turned to the world, and this is a form of turning to the world when she stays in Moab. Was Orpah saved? Had she turned to the true God of Naomi? She had every opportunity to believe God and accept Him as the true and only God. She no doubt would have received the knowledge of God from Naomi, if not from her husband. In other words, she knew everything about God. According to Jewish tradition, she would have been taught that she would rather go by the way of the world than to go by the way of God. I read in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15 where it says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." And we need to love God. We need to let God lead, guide, and direct us and choose His way. Now, I believe in verse 16, we see that Ruth turns to God. Although she was a Moabite, she insisted on doing all the things that would have been expected of a Jewish girl. And while young people tended to marry within the village where the bride could continue contact with her birth family, it was clear that the girl moved to her husband's home and not the other way around. And we see that her loyalties were expected to transfer to her new family and home and that of her husband. And we've talked about that. When Naomi decided to go back to Bethlehem, Ruth insisted on going too. We see that in verse 17 as we read in verse 17 as we read in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 25, it says, "For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." Again, we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 9, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." Well, this is what Ruth was doing. She had decided to follow Jesus. She had decided to follow God. Ruth, I believe, started understanding Jewish laws and its forms of worship and its ritual observance and so forth during the time she was married to Mahlon. Well, the values and norms of the Jewish people, their customs in terms of language, history, mythology, self-views, and institutional participation would continue to be learned by Ruth as she lived among the Jewish people of that land. Well, Ruth did not convert as such. She became a Jew. The concept of becoming is vital here, especially since the process begins prior to formal declarations and continues after we become children of God. We become God's children. We accept Jesus as our Savior, and we become a child of God. And as a good Jewish girl, when we read of Ruth here, Ruth's place was with her mother-in-law. Our place is with God. But her place was with her mother-in-law, not with her birth family. And she refused Naomi's willingness to release her from that obligation. She would stay with Naomi. She would go back with her. Well, we'll pick up here the next time in the book of Ruth, and it's so good to be able to study the Word of God together, to know God's leading in our lives. Do you know Him today as your Savior? Trust Him. And if you do know Him, you need to be living for Him, telling other individuals, other people, how to go to heaven.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.